Sunfish, rock bass, and crappie are easy to catch, and they're great to eat. They can be found in lakes and rivers throughout Ontario's landscape. And while some may say that panfish are for kids, aren't all anglers kids at heart? Since the beginning of time, we have known the value of animals to our survival, whether they be domestic or wild. Hunters take pride in making use of as much of their harvest as possible. And there isn't a better time of year to get a bear hide than in the spring. I've heard of some people paying tens of thousands of dollars to travel to the ends of the world to catch an Atlantic salmon, while one man has won a prestigious award for bringing Atlantic salmon to us.
Yamaha Canada proudly presents the Angler and Hunter Radio Show, the voice of anglers and hunters. On today's show,
pro angler Pete Garnier drops by to give us some tips for spring panfish. Ron Armstrong from Ron's Taxidermy gives us a rundown on how to prepare our bear for the taxidermist this spring. Roger Grile, Lake Superior State University Aquatic Research Laboratory Manager, gives us some insight into the highly successful Atlantic Salmon Program in Lake Superior, plus the Ozuri Outdoor Quiz, and more on today's Angler and Hunter Radio.
No matter what the terrain, no matter the weather, you head out. Challenge accepted. Whether you're hunting or fishing, Yamaha has the ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator to rise to the challenge, pairing renowned reliability with incredible performance. Whatever the day brings, conquer outdoors with Yamaha. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for more info and current offers.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine and only through this limited time offer. A Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna, a Coast LED headlamp, Fish Crisp Original, and a Team OFAH camouflage fishing bag with zippered pockets and three tackle boxes. Join or renew with this incredible OFAH membership package for only $69.95. Care enough to join today.
Visit OFAH.org. Invasive species are one of the greatest threats to the health of Ontario's ecosystems. The Invading Species Awareness Program provides outreach, education, and an avenue for the public to report sightings of invasive species through the Invading Species Hotline. To report an invasive species or to learn more about the program, call us at 1-800-563-7711. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com. Or give them a call, toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
With over 130 years of knife-making excellence, Camillus should be on your next hunt.
Adolf Kaster began the Camillus Knife Company in 1876, and he utilized expert engineering to ensure the highest precision in his knives. They prove themselves in the harshest conditions because Camillus uses a patented titanium bonding and carbonitride coating process, making them up to 10 times harder than untreated steel. Camillus knives stay sharper, longer.
Did you know four species of invasive fish known as Asian carps are threatening to invade the Great Lakes?
These fish have the potential to devour the food sources and habitat our native fish depend on and negatively impact our ability to enjoy our lakes and rivers. Help prevent the introduction of Asian carps. Report sightings to the Invading Species Hotline at 1-800-563-7711 or visit invadingspecies.com. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
If it's turkey hunting supplies you need, come to TSE Stores. We're excited about turkey hunting season 2. Don't forget to show your OFAH membership card.
TSC Stores, get a good deal more. Your incredible country hardware store.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Fishing Corner is brought to you by CUDA. Fierce, tough, proven.
Welcome to the voice of Anglers and Hunters, Angler and Hunter Radio. With water temperatures on the rise, panfish are heading to shallow waters. This is a great time of year to have some fun fishing with family and to share a meal of your favorite fish with them too. Our guest is a professional angler who loves fishing for bluegills and pumpkin seeds. Welcome to Angler and Hunter Radio, Pete.
Oh, thanks for having me, Randy. It's a pleasure.
We haven't had any time to chat. I do see you from time to time here and there, and you know, we're both really busy. I guess you're down in the States now doing some competing down there as well, and I notice you've done quite well down there.
Yeah, I've been having a ball down there. A couple of years ago, took the big leap and went down and started doing the Bassmaster Northern Opens down there, and just absolutely love the format, Randy. It's wild down there.
That's great. So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about Pete Garnier and how you got started in fishing and how you got roped into being where you are today?
Yeah, for sure. I don't think my story is that unusual from anybody else's. You know, I was introduced to fishing by my father probably when I was 4. And oddly enough, I guess one thing that does maybe separate me apart is my dad's not a fisherman.
Really?
So, you know, bless him for at least giving me the opportunity and the exposure to the sport. And I pretty much took the bull by the horns right from the get-go. If I wasn't in school or at home doing chores or whatever I had to do, I was on the water somewhere,
yeah,
wandering around some creek or the edge of the pond, whether I was fishing or catching frogs or looking at nature of one way, shape, or form. That's pretty much, you know, it dominated my childhood for sure.
Yeah, so those are your roots, and obviously, you know, it's good of your dad to introduce you to it, and it's obviously in your genes, that's for sure, because it's something that you really have a passion for. Now, where has it led you to today? Now, we did allude to the fact that you do some competitive fishing, but is how much of your working life is fishing now?
Well, I guess my story continues the same way. I mean, I went from school dominating my daytime to now my full-time job. I'm a CAD drafter. I do a computer-assisted drafting. I'm very fortunate to be able to do that and work from home. So, you know, they call us professional fishermen, but I certainly have a full-time job. And but when I'm not working, man, I am on the water. What I've really kind of worked a little bit of a niche into now is the panfish. I mean, Ontario, we are so spoiled. You know, I was given seminars at the Toronto Sportsman Show, and one of the things that I was kind of reiterating there is just how fortunate and spoiled we are in Ontario. I don't think you could live anywhere in this province without driving, you know, 45 minutes to an hour to some world-class, absolute world-class fishing for a multitude of species.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, our lakes are full of fish and our province is full of lakes. So there's lots of opportunities.
340,000 natural lakes. You got it.
Yeah. Now, obviously, you know, in some ways, they seem to be an easy fish to catch because in the springtime, they're, you know, they're in the shallows and they're spawning and maybe they are easy to catch, but they've got a life cycle and chasing these critters around isn't as easy as it sounds. What kind of advice would you give our listeners, you know, seasonally, you know, how to find them and what kind of approach they should use to catching them?
Well, it's kind of it's the same sort of thing, you know. What's the best way or what's the best lure to catch you know, let's talk bluegills for a second. And it comes down to exactly what are your goals? Are you looking for absolute trophy, like the biggest fish in the swim? And just learning about that fish and knowing their habits and their life cycle, like you mentioned, will put you at least in the right zone. What's interesting in this part of the world is, you know, for 6 months, 5 months, whatever the case may be, our lakes are covered with ice.
Yeah.
So we have a true cold water ice fishing period where, generally speaking, those fish go into the deeper basins. If you've done much pan fishing in south central Ontario, that's not always the case. So there's exceptions to all those rules. So you take a look, lake like Scugog, which is predominantly a pretty shallow fishery. Average depth there might be like 4, 4.5 feet. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's pretty shallow. And it's dominated by weeds. And you can spend all day catching bluegills, yoinking them out of weed beds under the ice. In a lot of cases around the province, you move north up Halliburton, Terrytown, that area. Most of those fish will actually gravitate toward deeper basin areas. And the more isolated and smaller those basin areas are, the easier the fish are to find.
Right, and they're usually, are they close to those spring haunts?
Usually just outside, yes, I would say that. Some main lake schools do exist, but if there's a food source in those basins, they're not going anywhere, and they're there all year.
So, yeah. So we're looking for a food source, and we're looking for a deeper, and when you say deeper, I mean, I live on Sturgeon Lake. It gets up to 30, 35 feet deep. Would that be too deep?
It absolutely wouldn't be too deep. The problem with sturgeon, for example, is a great example. It can be a frustrating lake because so much of that lake is basin. It's not really well defined. So if you can find an isolated basin that's kind of surrounded by shallower waters, that's usually quite magical. Sturgeon Lake pretty much drops off. It's more like an old river channel. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's sectioned out in the middle, and it just kind of slowly and gradually builds up towards the shoreline.
Right.
Not my top pick for ice fishing for bluegills, I got to admit, but there's some tremendous bluegills in there.
Oh.
The problem is, if they get over those deep basins, I think they wander. It's a lot more difficult to pattern them on a lake like that.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Outdoor Quiz is brought to you by Yozuri. Fish the best.
Are you permitted to hunt waterfowl from a powerboat? We'll have the answer when we return after these important words.
No matter what the terrain, no matter the weather, you head out. Challenge accepted. Whether you're hunting or fishing, Yamaha has the ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator to rise to the challenge. Pairing renowned reliability with incredible performance. Whatever the day brings, conquer outdoors with Yamaha. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for more info and current offers.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine and only through this limited time offer. A Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna. A Coast LED headlamp. Fish Crisp Original. And a Team OFAH camouflage fishing bag with zippered pockets and 3 tackle boxes. Join or renew with this incredible OFAH membership package for only $69.95. Care enough to join today.
Visit OFAH.org.
Mike Miller here from Angler and Hunter Television. Aquatic invasive species and fish-killing diseases like VHS threaten the health of Lake Simcoe. By taking 2 minutes to clean, drain, and dry your boat every time you take it out of the water, you will help stop the spread of aquatic invasive species into Lake Simcoe and other water bodies in Ontario. For more information, contact the Invading Species Hotline at 1-800-563-7711 or visit invadingspecies.com. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program as part of the Operation Boat Clean campaign.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com or give them a call toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
With over 130 years of knife making excellence, Camillus should be on your next hunt.
Adolf Kaster began the Camillus Knife Company in 1876, and he utilized expert engineering to ensure the highest precision in his knives. They prove themselves in the harshest conditions because Camillus uses a patented titanium bonding and carbonitride coating process, making them up to 10 times harder than untreated steel. Camillus Knives. Stay sharper, longer.
If it's turkey hunting supplies you need, come to TSE Stores. We're excited about turkey hunting season 2. Don't forget to show your OFAH membership card.
TSE Stores, get a good deal more. Your incredible country hardware store.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Outdoor Quiz is brought to you by Yozuri. Fish the best.
Are you permitted to hunt waterfowl from a powerboat? You can hunt waterfowl from a powerboat. The Migratory Birds Convention Act, 1994, states that the use of a powerboat does not include the use of a powerboat when the motor is not in operation and forward progress has ceased.
Welcome back to Angler and Hunter Radio. The first fish many kids catch will be a panfish. Rock bass, sunfish, and crappie all qualify as panfish, which simply means they fit nicely into a frying pan. Our guest, Pete Garnier, spends many hours on the water in pursuit of these delicious little critters. And he's sharing some of his secrets with us here today. In the spring, of course, they're in shallower. Now, as far as lures and presentation goes, I mean, going by the Linders and I guess their magic rule is go as light as you possibly can for whatever the application is that you're doing. But with that being said, how can you expand on that for panfish?
Well, I think 4-pound test is probably a pretty good place to start. The real problem when you use too heavy a line, that's really the thing that you don't want to do. It's easy to talk about what you do want to use, but as long as you're not getting into 6, 8, 10-pound tests, what that does is it really limits the action to these smaller lures that you're going to use. We're using a lot of little tiny, you know, 1, 1.5 inch, 1 3/4 inch, chunks of plastic, and if you put that on a real heavy pound monofilament or fluorocarbon for that matter, it just completely kills the action of that lure. It doesn't look very natural. Quite often it'll spin an awful lot more. We're talking ice fishing here. That's about the most limiting thing when it comes to catching panfish under the ice is when your line has twist in it.
Yeah.
If you just put your lure in the hole and take a look at it, if it's slowly turning around, which often is the case, that's a killer as far as getting bit goes.
Just letting it just do that. Yeah, just turning around really slow. And do you find that, at least, and I found sometimes on my lake, sometimes not, sometimes they're suspended, but as far as structure fishing for panfish, success, little success, a lot of success, is it something you would advise our listeners to key in on, especially during the summer and spring months?
Well, if you're talking structure as in hard structure, being at a shoal or a ledge or something like that, or are you talking more cover as in a weed line?
Yeah, a hunk of wood, some weeds, a weed line, some reeds.
Yeah, the cover can absolutely be key, and it's unique to our zone. A lot of the places, it's strictly a deep basin type of bite, type of fishery, where the only cover is the actual fish themselves, so it seems. You know, safety in numbers, you get these big schools spread out over these basin areas. But when you move shallow and get onto a weed line, that sort of a thing, during the daytime, I'm pretty confident that there's a ton of fish that actually move right up inside those weeds, in the real heavy weeds, where a flasher just becomes invaluable. You can dial down the gain and the sensitivity of your unit, so you can almost make all those weeds disappear and all you can see is the fish in your lure. Absolutely key. But bluegills, pumpkin seed, even rock bass, man, we catch the odd incidental largemouth, walleyes, you name it. There's a lot of life in those weed beds.
Yeah.
What's really fun, and you can read a lot about this online, is when that sun goes down, you get that that dusk period at the end of the day, everything just seems to come absolutely alive.
And yeah.
Those fish, especially the crappies, will gravitate towards those weed lines. So through the day, I generally fish in the weeds, right yep. in the thickest part of the weed bed. And I'll move out towards that weed line, you know, maybe an hour, 45 minutes before the sun starts to go down, and it's usually lights out. Even on the slow days, you get that dusk bite or that late afternoon bite as the sun's going down, and it can be completely lights out. I'm not 100% sure why. There's got to be some sort of adjustment to the food source. I think there's a lot of bloodworms and other, you know, little invertebrates that come to life at night, and I know that those fish react very well to that.
Yeah, and you know what? It's interesting you say that because, as you know, I've got a dock and it's on Sturgeon Lake, and
yes.
and I can go down there, you know, when I'm just throwing a little lure out there for crappie or bluegills, mm-hmm. which, by the way, I like equally or even more, especially for eating. I love big bluegills, and that evening time that you're talking about, if our listeners take away anything from this conversation today, I can tell you, on some days I can go down there and fish around noon and fish between noon and dinner, but I go down after dinner when that sun's going down, and it's like a different lake. There, it's just,
absolutely.
Where did they all come from? What, I mean, you know, and that is a really good point to take is, focus your efforts on productive times.
Yeah, without question. And that, I mean, if you have the luxury of getting to pick and choose when you go, the late afternoon bite for the sunfish are outstanding. And by sunfish, I mean bluegills, pumpkin seed, and crappies as well.
Yeah, they're a ball. They're a ball. They're a lot of fun.
And that's not, that afternoon bite is not limited to just the weed line fish either. The fish in the basin will absolutely light up too. Sometimes it lasts for 90 minutes. Sometimes it'll last hours. And it's becoming more common. You know, there's a lot more people that are getting into panfish. It's an absolute blast. I can remember the first time I went out 2 years ago on Scugog. I think I went out there, just as we've been discussing, went for the sundown bite. Well, I'll tell you what, I left them biting, and I didn't get off the ice until 3:45 a.m.
Wow.
It was absolutely outstanding, yeah.
Good stuff. Well, Pete, thanks so much for all these tips and tactics on panfish, crappie, bluegills, pumpkin seeds. By the way, rock bass are great eating, too. Don't ever pass up a good fry of rock bass. And I know I tend to talk a lot about eating fish, but if you ever see me, you'll know that I like to eat.
You and me both, Randy.
And I'm sure that I'll run into you in a tournament or two this summer.
Yep, absolutely. If people have any questions or want to see if I'm available for any kind of guiding, I do walleyes and panfish before and after the tournament season.
Okay.
Calendar's filling up pretty quick, but they can always get a hold of me on Facebook. Just Pete Garnier, give it a search, and I'll pop up. If you have any other questions or anything like that, anybody wants to get a hold of me, always open to questions.
Great. Follow Pete for some more information, and thank you for taking some time with us to divulge some of your trade secrets.
Yeah, no worries, Randy.
Panfishing on Lake Scugog may help walleye. With the recent closure of the walleye fishery on Lake Scugog, anglers may consider swapping their walleye rigging for a panfish setup. Fishing for bluegill and black crappie on Lake Scugog could prove to be entertaining this season and may be beneficial to the resident walleye population. Throughout the 1970s and 80s, Lake Scugog in southern Ontario's Fisheries Management Zone 17 gained a reputation as a walleye fishing destination. This shallow, productive lake was known for large numbers of good-sized walleye and its close proximity to Greater Toronto area. Over the last 30-plus years, however, the lake has changed significantly. Zebra mussels, bluegill, and black crappie have been introduced into the lake. Zebra mussels filter out the plankton floating in the water, making the water clearer and less desirable for walleye. Bluegill and crappie compete with walleye for food and habitat, and the intruders seem to be winning the competition. Since 1990, the walleye population in the lake has been declining, and in November 2015, the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry determined that a full closure of the walleye fishery was necessary to save the population. While angling pressure was a factor in the decline of the walleye in Lake Scugog, it was not the sole cause of the current situation. The walleye have been unable to spawn successfully for over 6 years, according to the data provided by the Kawartha Lakes Fisheries Assessment Unit. The reason is currently unknown and needs to be identified so the MNRF and stakeholders like the OFAH can take appropriate action. Landowners and local volunteers, including OFAH members and the Scugog Lake stewards, are working with the MNRF to understand the reason for the walleye spawn failure. Although anglers cannot fish for walleyes on Lake Scugog, there is an opportunity to help by targeting bluegill and black crappie, which may help reduce pressure on walleye populations. With a sport fishing license, anglers can keep 30 black crappie and 300 sunfish, which includes bluegill, with only 30 sunfish greater than 18 centimeters or 7.1 inches. With a conservation fishing license, anglers can keep 10 black crappie and 15 sunfish, which also includes bluegill. Preparing your spring bear for the taxidermist when we return with more Angler and Hunter Radio.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Fishing Corner is brought to you by CUDA. Fierce, tough, proven. No matter what the terrain, no matter the weather, you head out. Challenge accepted. Whether you're hunting or fishing, Yamaha has the ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator to rise to the challenge, pairing renowned reliability with incredible performance. Whatever the day brings, conquer outdoors with Yamaha. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for more info and current offers.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine and only through this limited time offer. A Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna. A Coast LED headlamp, Fish Crisp Original, and a Team OFAH camouflage fishing bag with zippered pockets and three tackle boxes. Join or renew with this incredible OFAH membership package for only $69.95. Care enough to join today.
Visit OFAH.org.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com or give them a call toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
With over 130 years of knife-making excellence, Camillus should be on your next hunt.
Adolf Kaster began the Camillus Knife Company in 1876, and he utilized expert engineering to ensure the highest precision in his knives. They prove themselves in the harshest conditions because Camillus uses a patented titanium bonding and carbonitride coating process, making them up to 10 times harder than untreated steel. Camillus Knives. Stay sharper, longer.
Going fishing this summer? You should know that invasive species can be spread to new areas through the improper disposal of bait. If using live bait fish, buy locally. Never dump your leftover bait or bait bucket water into or within 30 meters of a water body. It's illegal. Freeze or salt unused bait for future use, or properly dispose of it in the trash. For more information, contact the Invading Species Hotline at 1-800-563-7711 or visit invadingspecies.com. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
If it's turkey hunting supplies you need, come to TSE Stores. We're excited about turkey hunting season 2. Don't forget to show your OFAH membership card.
TSC Stores, get a good deal more. Your incredible country hardware store.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Hunting Corner is brought to you by Camillus, quality knives since 1876.
Welcome back to Angler and Hunter Radio. Many hunters will partake in the spring bear hunt this year, and some of them will successfully harvest a black bear. Okay, so with the spring pilot bear hunt being expanded this spring, we're very fortunate that we have a lot of wildlife management units that we can take advantage of now for some spring bear hunting. And as responsible hunters, we all use as much of the animals we can. And myself personally, I love my bear hides. And there's lots of things that we can do above and beyond that with the hides in terms of taxidermy services. So I've asked Ron from Ron's Taxidermy in Woodville to come on today to talk to all our listeners. How are you doing, Ron?
I'm good, Randy. Good to be on the show again.
Today we're talking about bears and a different dynamic than the fall hunt. I mean, bears are in a different condition in the spring. We have some different weather. But what can you tell our listeners if they manage to harvest a bear, what they should do in preparatory terms so if they wanted to get it to a taxidermy, in good shape?
Well, it's been since 1999 since we've had a spring bear hunt, so there might be a lot of hunters out there that don't remember how nice the hides are in the spring. They're just gorgeous hides in the spring. They do, near the end of the season, start getting rough, but generally they're gorgeous hides. The hair is really long, and this is pretty exciting, the spring bear hunt coming back. There's going to be some pretty happy hunters, and but one thing about the spring bear hunt, it usually starts off cool, but it ends warm. So that's where some issues start if you don't keep control of things. But generally in the early season it's cool. So after you harvest your animal, a typical scenario is to take it back home and maybe hang it up and let it cool down, and maybe a day or two later take the hide off and then freeze it. But if it's warm, even in the fall, it's it could be really warm. I know last fall was really warm, and
Especially around like Labor Day weekend when it opens, eh?
Yeah, like some of the seasons are very early, like Northwestern Ontario opens August 15th, so you're into some really warm temperatures. But what I usually tell the hunters is one thing, I would suggest phoning your taxidermist before you go, just to get the heads up of what he would want you to do to prepare the hide. So best case scenario, it's nice and cool out. Yeah, you can let the bear hang and cool down overnight and skin it the next day. But if it's warm, yeah, that's something you want to get right on. Like I would personally, if I shot a bear and it's really warm out, which, like I said, it probably will be later in the spring, I would get that hide off immediately. And what I tell my customers is take the hide off and lay the hide on the ground and just let it cool and air off for maybe half an hour to an hour.
Right.
Before you freeze it, because you can actually pull a warm hide off, roll it up and freeze it. It can actually spoil in the freezer, like the hair is so thick it insulates it.
Oh, I see.
I had a hat once before the customer. This was back in the spring bear hunt, and he skinned the bear when it was warm, rolled it up quick, froze it, and actually spoiled. The whole bear didn't spoil, but on the inside where it was rolled up, it actually spoiled. So I suggest now to just let them air. It doesn't take long, like a half an hour to an hour.
So put them fur down, I guess, obviously, so that it gets the heat off of the flesh?
Yeah, fur down, yeah. Flesh side up, and don't salt it. If you salt the hide and put it in the freezer, it doesn't really freeze that well because the salt prevents from freezing. And
okay.
You end up with a soupy mess, really, because it doesn't totally freeze. You end up with a lot of salty goo coming out of the bear hide. So when you get aired out, fold it skin to skin, and then you can fold it up. And I wouldn't suggest rolling up real tight. Like, just you kind of fold it into a square, and then put that in a garbage bag and try and put put in the freezer so it's not all bunched up. Then it'll freeze quicker. If it's all rolled up in a ball, it takes longer to freeze, and it could, like, it could take several days to freeze in the center, and literally it could be spoiling in your freezer.
We will return with more Spring Bear processing and preparation with Ron from Ron's Taxidermy after these important words.
No matter what the terrain, no matter the weather, you head out. Challenge accepted. Whether you're hunting or fishing, Yamaha has the ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator to rise to the challenge, pairing renowned reliability with incredible performance. Whatever the day brings, conquer outdoors with Yamaha. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for more info and current offers.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine and, only through this limited time offer, a Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna, a Coast LED headlamp, Fish Crisp Original, and a Team OFAH camouflage fishing bag with zippered pockets and three tackle boxes. Join or renew with this incredible OFAH membership package for only $69.95. Care enough to join today.
Visit OFAH.org.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com or give them a call toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
With over 130 years of knife-making excellence, Camillus should be on your next hunt.
Adolf Kaster began the Camillus Knife Company in 1876, and he utilized expert engineering to ensure the highest precision in his knives. They proved themselves in the harshest conditions because Camillus uses a patented titanium bonding and carbonitride coating process, making them up to 10 times harder than untreated steel. Camillus Knives. Stay sharper, longer.
Invasive plants are known to spread along walking trails and other natural areas people like to visit. You can help stop their spread by checking for and removing any seeds or plant parts that may have attached to your footwear, gear, or pets before you leave the trail. For more information, contact the Invading Species Hotline at 1-800-563-7711 or visit invadingspecies.com. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
If it's turkey hunting supplies you need, come to TSE Stores. We're excited about turkey hunting season 2. Don't forget to show your OFAH membership card.
TSC Stores, get a good deal more. Your incredible country hardware store.
Preparing your bear mount or hide for the taxidermist is very important for a final quality product. And Ron Armstrong from Ron's Taxidermy is here to offer some tips for your spring bear harvest.
So
I know for me, and depending on what the customer is interested in doing, when I get mine done, I like to have the paws on and I like to have the head on.
Yeah.
So could you tell the listeners like the crucial part of where to make those incisions and where not to make them, especially when they're removing the head and that part of the animal?
Yeah, like we usually tell our clientele to leave the skull in it and leave the paws in. We prefer to skin that ourselves. It's kind of tricky skinning the toes out and skinning around the eyes and ears, so I prefer to do that myself. So, yeah, basically make an incision from the tail up to, like if you want a bear rug, tail right up to maybe within 4 or 5 inches of the chin, one nice straight line. And then the front legs just start from the pad, the center of the pad,
mm-hmm.
and go down to the elbow. And then from the elbow, kind of aim towards the center of the chest, which a bear's leg is very much like a human arm.
Right.
So if you go down to the elbow, from the pad down to the elbow, and then the elbow, if you picture your own arm, halfway across the bicep.
Right.
And then aim for the center of the chest, and then try and do the exact same for the other side.
Right.
Then when the bear rug is stretched out, both sides are even. So basically, if you goof up on one side, you might as well goof up on the other side.
Keep it consistent, eh?
Yeah, then it'll be consistent on both sides. But and then the hind legs, just run your knife from the heel down to the tail. You'll see where the hair pattern kind of meets there, and just kind of follow a line down there.
Right, right.
Don't worry about stripping all the meat off. We have in our shop here, we have a power machine to strip the meat off. If you can get the heavy amounts of fat off, it'll be, well, heavier to carry for one thing, and less space taken up in the freezer. And
right. And that fat's a challenge in within itself, too, so that'll keep you busy for a while, that's for sure.
Yeah, actually, spring bears, there's not much fat on them. That's kind of a bonus of the spring. They pretty well used up their fat supplies for the over the winter months in hibernation. So the spring, yeah, they're pretty lean.
That's
pretty
good.
It's pretty lean bear.
It makes it a little bit more easier for everybody that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah.
So keep those tips in mind. I mean, keep the salt off of them. Sounds like from what Ron's saying, you know, get them frozen, but allow them to cool down. Get the fur facing down. Lie them all, spread them all out, and let it cool off before you go freezing it.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to phone your taxidermist. Like I don't mind people phoning me. I'd rather have them phone me and make sure they know what they're doing ahead of time than have a. Like a lot of the bears I get in are already frozen in a bag, and I you can't really tell a spoiled bear from a good bear when they're frozen. So if we can educate them ahead of time, all the better.
So if the listeners are lucky enough to harvest a bear, how can they reach you?
Well, you can give me a call at 705-439-2196. That's my phone number, or you can go on my website, just Google Ron's Taxidermy, and should come up for you there. And there's an email address on there, even Facebook, and take a look at that. But like I said, don't be afraid to call. I'd rather take a phone call than an email. I can explain things better over the phone. So, yeah, don't be afraid to phone.
Yeah, and you know what? This is probably a good time to ask you some questions before you get busy, eh?
Yeah. Well, we're always busy, but there's definitely fewer things coming this time of year, so I'm able to take the calls. But and the spring bear hunt, it is coming up soon. Before you know it, we'll be hunting them. So
yeah.
I'm
pretty excited about that. I have a lot of bears on my property, so I'm pretty keen to get up there and enjoy some of this spring bear hunting. Are you going to get out, or are you just going to be busy working?
I'm going to try and get out. I don't have much time in the fall, but in the spring, the days are longer, so I can get out. So, yeah, I literally haven't bear hunted since the last spring hunt, so I'm looking forward to getting out. Everything's kind of coming alive in the bush. It's a really nice time to get out.
It really is. It's a great time of year to get out. So thank you so much for giving us those tips on how to prepare our hides for the taxidermy for our bear hunting spring and fall from yeah. Ron's Taxidermy. Thanks, Ron.
No problem, Randy.
An Atlantic salmon success story when Angler and Hunter Radio returns.
Angler and Hunter Radio's Hunting Corner is brought to you by Camillus Quality Knives since 1876.
No matter what the terrain, no matter the weather, you head out. Challenge accepted. Whether you're hunting or fishing, Yamaha has the ATV, side-by-side, outboard, or generator to rise to the challenge.
pairing renowned reliability with incredible performance. Whatever the day brings, conquer outdoors with Yamaha. Visit yamaha-motor.ca today for more info and current offers.
Fishing and hunting. Why are these pastimes so important to you? You hunt and fish because the outdoors always calls you back home. It's a tradition. It's a passion. It's your identity. Your promise to stand up for fishing and hunting is a promise for your future. Today, make a promise to support conservation and traditions with a membership in the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. OFAH membership includes Ontario Out of Doors magazine and only through this limited time offer. A Shimano reel, the Shimano Sienna, a Coast LED headlamp, Fish Crisp Original, and a Team OFAH camouflage fishing bag with zippered pockets and three tackle boxes. Join or renew with this incredible OFAH membership package for only $69.95. Care enough to join today.
Visit OFAH.org.
Isn't it about time you took that fishing or hunting trip of a lifetime? Make your lifelong memory now by booking your adventure at the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Find the perfect hunting or fishing packages in more than hundreds of Quebec's exceptional world-class outfitters. And you know what? You could win your trip by entering one of the two giveaways run by the Quebec Outfitters Federation. Don't wait. They're only a click away at QuebecOutfitters.com or give them a call toll free at 1-800-567-9009.
With over 130 years of knife-making excellence, Camillus should be on your next hunt.
Adolf Kaster began the Camillus Knife Company in 1876, and he utilized expert engineering to ensure the highest precision in his knives. They prove themselves in the harshest conditions because Camillus uses a patented titanium bonding and carbonitride coating process, making them up to 10 times harder than untreated steel. Camillus Knives. Stay sharper, longer.
Invasive species are one of the greatest threats to the health of Ontario's ecosystems. The Invading Species Awareness Program provides outreach, education, and an avenue for the public to report sightings of invasive species through the Invading Species Hotline. To report an invasive species or to learn more about the program, call us at 1-800-563-7711. A message from Ontario's Invading Species Awareness Program.
Welcome back to Angler and Hunter Radio. You know, 100 years ago, Lake Ontario and its tributaries were far too degraded to sustain Atlantic salmon. This was probably true even 30 years ago. However, in the past few decades, incredible improvements have been made in the water quality and habitat of the lake and its streams. And research has shown Atlantic salmon fry and juveniles can successfully survive in the streams. So here at the Federation of Anglers and Hunters, we quite often talk about biodiversity. And for the listeners out there who aren't quite sure what that means, if I could compare it to our ecology, if I could compare our ecology, let's say, to the engine in the car that you drive. And if I was to go outside right now and take a part, one little part out of the engine that runs your car, it probably would fail to run properly. In fact, it may not run at all. Well, our ecology is much the same, and you often hear us talking about our Atlantic salmon project here in Ontario, and how we're bringing Atlantic salmon back to Ontario that were a bit, you know, were extinct a long, long time ago, actually the turn of the last century. And today, I'm fortunate enough to have Roger Grile, the Aquatic Research Laboratory Manager with Lake Superior State University, here with me to talk about the university and the program they have there. Roger, welcome to Angler and Hunter Radio.
Well, thank you, Randy. It's an honor to be here.
You know, I don't know where to start. Well, let's start off with this. I heard, or a little birdie told me, that you received a DNR Partnership Award.
Yes, I did. It's a partnership award that I received back in December, early December, for all the work that we've been involved with the university over the years with the Atlantic Salmon Program and other work we do in the St. Mary's River and surrounding areas with fisheries related.
That's awesome. And, you know, non-government organizations play a big role in keeping our ecology, you know, in great shape and for recreational use and just for the sound being of our environment. Now, what can you tell our listeners about the Aquatic Research Lab?
The Aquatic Research Lab was basically established back in the early to mid-70s, rearing whitefish, and whitefish were never really reared beyond the sacrifice stage, and we did do it for a couple of years, and I use the term we loosely because I was involved in the mid-70s, but they were rearing whitefish beyond the yolk sap absorption by feeding them plankton directly from the St. Mary's River, which worked out really well, and then the lab sort of sat idle for a few years, and then the power company and the Michigan DNR and Lake State kind of got together. The DNR and Lake State signed a memo of understanding in 84 to start looking at rearing Atlantic salmon and stocking them into the St. Mary's River. So 1985 was our first shipment of eggs received, 87 was our first stocking, and we've been involved with the Atlantic program since.
So that's amazing. So this fish culture and rearing facility you have actually works in partnership with a hydroelectric generating station.
Yes, it is. We are housed within an active hydro plant. The plant is a quarter mile long, and it's
wow.
Every bit of that. It's pretty a fascinating building. The building has switched hands a few times since we've been involved with it. Cloverland Electric is now the landlord of the hydro plant, and we are working with them. They play a huge role with us. They provide the space for us to have our facility in, along with electricity and any help we need. So it works out great for us.
That's awesome. Nice, interesting partnership. Now, obviously with Atlantic Salmon, and we've had our challenges here, specifically getting the program off the ground there, what kind of challenges, noteworthy ones that you could recall that you would like to share with the listeners?
Atlantic Salmon, we were under the impression in the early years you add water and take off, and these fish are far from it. They are very, very tough fish to rear. We had a lot of issues over the year with them. They are a very stressed fish. They stress very easy. And I guess I always tell our students and others that ask is don't give these fish an excuse to die because they will take it. And as you had noted in your introduction at Lake Ontario, one of the first the Atlantic salmon were extinct by the turn of the century. It was one of the first fish we've lost in the Great Lakes. And with keeping that in mind, we see the same thing. These fish don't like changes fast. I think that's the biggest thing to sum it up. They don't like a quick change. So you work with the fish, they seem to respond well. You try fitting them into your world and do whatever's easier for you. They are a lot tougher and they just typically die. They don't give you a whole bunch of warnings.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? Fortunately for myself, I've had the opportunity to fly fish for Atlantic salmon out in Labrador and in Newfoundland as well. And without some challenges and effort, there would be no reward. And I guess your risk and effort certainly shows its benefits. But speaking of that, the environmental as well as the recreational benefits that you found in the St. Mary's River now with the Atlantic salmon, can you discuss that in a nutshell?
Yeah, we have found a lot of angler interest in this Atlantic salmon program. Our main goal here for our hatchery is our goal is not necessarily to rear fish to stock in the St. Mary's River. We are an undergrad institute, and our goal is to train students in all aspects of hatchery life. And the result of our training is the fishery and the Atlantic salmon program that we have created.
Right.
So with that, what makes it nice is people didn't look at us in the same light that they shine on federal or state organizations. Where's our return for investment? Folks looked at us more of we're training tour research, and they give us a lot more leeway, and we had a lot of up and down over the years. It took us at least 10 years to understand this fish in our hatchery. Once we got them rolling and got to understand them better, every year we learned more on these fish, our returns and everything got stronger. Huh? We have guides. There's 3, 4, 5 guides now that guide most of the summer fishing for Atlantic salmon in the river. It's been quite a fishery. We talked to some guides who tell us they hook and land 20 fish a day on certain days. They have great fishery going.
That's great. So as well as, you know, having a future pool of students who are going to become experienced in this sort of discipline, we've also got some great spinoff as well in terms of fishing and social economic as well. So there are some real benefits there. Now, I've heard that you're going to be encountering some future expansion.
We are really hoping to relocate, expand our facility. Our hatchery itself will grow by about 20%, meaning we'll add a little bit more. But a lot of our excitement is we're going to create a outreach type program with this expansion. We're going to have K through 12 students coming in, doing a discovery center, letting them see what the environment's really about. So we're hoping to have like a stream environment, pond life, and everything that's associated with that. The building also, we're going to have some scientists, room for other scientists to come up and do some collaborative work with us, along with classrooms, research places, and offices. So we're really excited. We're hoping this does go through and get us moving more in the direction of other entities being involved.
That's amazing. So for listeners and the possibility of future students, you can not only look them up. What's the website that they can look it up on, Roger?
Our website would be, of course, www.lssu.edu. And if you want to look up the Aquatic Research Lab, you throw /ARL, and that'll bring you to our website.
Okay, and you also have a fish cam. Is there any better time of year to look up the fish cam?
Yes, it is. It's in open water. Once the ice hits the river, we pull the fish cam. So typically, right around November, we take the camera out of the water, and it's out until April or May of the following year, or when the ice leaves the river. So if we see ice chunks still floating in May, the camera doesn't go on. I can just see it getting washed out with the ice.
Exactly. But something for us to look for in April and May, and I suppose you get some trout coming up at that time of year.
Yes, so when we do first set it in, our camera is set in the discharge of our hatchery itself, and it's in the first active turbine in the on the hydro plant. So the fish seem to hold here fairly well, and the first group of fish that really wave in would be our steelhead, and we see a fair number of steelhead. And then when the Atlantic starts showing up in June, they're on the camera through the rest of the summer.
That is amazing. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us today talking about Atlantic salmon and some of the great things that are going on at Lake Superior State University. And congratulations on the award.
Well, thank you. It was truly humbling to get it and really exciting. I mean, we put a lot of, you know, it's been a lot of work, not just with the university, but the DNR has been very supportive with us and worked with us, and they're involved with our hatchery in the Atlantic program as much as we are helping pay for the food and everything else. So it's a great partnership we got going, three-way partnership.
That's excellent. You have yourself a great day.
Thank you and appreciate it.
Every living thing is like a link in a chain we call our biodiversity. We are the envy of the world. Become a member of the OFAH today at ofah.org and help us to improve, protect, and perpetuate Ontario's hunting and fishing heritage. Until next time, be safe. I'm Randy Jennings.
The Angler and Hunter Radio Show has been brought to you by Yamaha. What kind of Yamaha are you?
Angler and Hunter Radio is a production of the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters. Please send your tall tales and comments to ahradio.ca.
Don't forget, you can check out past episodes of Angler and Hunter Radio on the web at anglerandhunterradio.ca or wrboradio.com.